This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Hawkeye Steel at Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
Operating a successful farm takes more than hard work and determination. It takes smart decision-making from every angle. That's why more farm families turn to Farm Credit each day for all their financial and crop insurance needs. Our 96 years of experience has helped us become more than the nation's leading ag lender. In addition to our specialized staff of ag professionals, we've also developed a unique range of financial products and services that you can use to help manage the financial side of your farming business. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farm families. When you demand success in every field, Farm Credit is the financial expert to turn to. For more information, call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Total Confidence Pricing is going on right now at Smokey Jennings Chevrolet, and if you don't love it, you can return it. Pre-owned inventory is low, and they're giving top dollar for trade-ins, or they'll buy your vehicle from you, only until September 4th at Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra, where they're not just about trucks, they're about community since 1946. Tax, title, license, and dealer fees extra. Go to ChevyConfidence.com for full details and restrictions. Purchase a 2012 vehicle by September 4th. Not available with some other offers.
First of all, in our farm news this morning and overnight trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, September wheat now trading at 883.5, down 2. December wheat trading at 903.75, down 2. September corn trading at 811, up 3/4. December corn trading at 813.75, up 1/4. September soybeans trading at 1759, down 4.25. November beans trading at 1747.75, down 5.25. The overnight crude oil market, 17 cents lower at 95.32. The Brent crude, 61 cents higher at 113.15. The December gold contract, $3 lower at $1,660. And the U.S. dollar index, 0.089 lower at 81.460. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, September wheat closed at 885.5, up 30.75. December wheat ended yesterday 905.75, up 30.25. March wheat ended at 913.25, up 26.75. September corn yesterday closed at 810.25, up 20.75. December corn closed at 813.5, up 18. March corn closed at 813, up 16.5. September soybeans yesterday closed at 1763.25, up 30.75. November beans ended at 1753, up 30.75. January beans ended at 1742.5, up 28. September soybean meal yesterday closed at 543.30, up 91. October meal closed at 534.30, up 84. December meal closed at $530, up 82 cents. September soybean oil yesterday closed at 56.64, up 91. October oil closed at 56.86, up 91. December oil closed at 57.30, up 91. September oats yesterday closed at 387.25, up 13.25. December oats closed at 396. That is up 13.5. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois Kinder Grain prices ended sharply higher on Wednesday afternoon. Corn and soybean values gained strength from a strong wheat futures market. Could export interest in wheat drove prices higher. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 14 to 20 cents higher at $8 to $8.16, and soybean bids were up 28 to 30 cents at $17.31 to $17.58. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted those shell corn bids 16 to 20 cents stronger at $8.15 to $8.39, and soybeans advanced 30 to 31 cents at $17.75 to $17.98. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 20 cents stronger at $8.27 to $8.50, soybeans mostly 23 to 31 cents stronger at $17.35 to $17.73, and the wheat up 32 to 34 cents at $8.65 to $8.80. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 14 to 17 cents stronger at $7.80 to $7.99. Soybeans advanced 23 to 25 cents at $17.59 to $17.61. With the new crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery up 12 to 21 cents at $8.18 to $8.19. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 11 to 17 cents higher at $7.86 to $8 even. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 20 to 27 cents, with quotations at $17.60 to $17.68. Soft red winter wheat gained 31 cents at $8.55 to $8.56, and the Milo ended 13 cents stronger at $7.18 to $7.19. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. New crop corn bids range from $7.82 to $8.09, with new crop soybean bids at $17.21 to $17.29. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from $7.99 to $8.29, new crop soybean bids at $17.35 to $17.53, and in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from a low of $7.84 to $8.42. New crop soybean bids range from $17.33 to $17.58, and the new crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery, those bids range from $8 to $8.29. That is our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, October hogs closed at 73.70, up 45. December hogs closed at 71.02, up 27. February hogs closed at 79.07, up 32. August cattle yesterday closed at 119.40, up 57. October cattle closed at 125.50, up 175. December cattle closed at 128.50, up 122. August feeder cattle yesterday closed at 140.40, up a dime. September feeders closed at 143.70, up a dime. And October feeders closed at 144.80, up 32. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
The closing livestock reports for Wednesday, August 29th. For the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct hogs, barrels, and gills closed $1.93 lower. Carcass base price range, $65 to $76.99. Weighted average of $75.30. Hogs purchased Illinois today, 11,600. Illinois Dirk Brown Gilt trade steady to dollar lower, 50 to 54, with Illinois Dirk Slaughter sows, lightweight sows, 1 to 2 lower, and heavier weight sows mostly steady. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds from 32 to 36. 450 to 550 pounds at 35 to 40. Over 550 pounds at 37 to 40, a few up to 42. Today's estimated receipts of 1,000 and Tuesday's actuals 1,150. Pork carcass cutout, $82.59, that is down 67 cents. The estimated daily livestock slaughter into federal inspection, hogs for today, 432,000. Last week, 425,000. A year ago, 418,000, with week to date of 1,295,000. Cattle for today and last week, both 123,000. A year ago, 128,000. Week to date, 376,000. Box beef cutout values were lower on light demand and light to moderate offerings. Total movement today, 167 fab loads with 63 trim. Choice, 190, 92, down 99 cents. Select, 180, 95, and that is down 99 cents. At the Fairview Livestock Auction on Tuesday, 318 heads sold. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold 2 to 3 lower. Holstein steers, slaughter cows and bulls all traded unevenly steady. Steers, choice 2s to 3s, 114 to 119.5. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, 110.75 to 112.75. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, 115 to 119.5. Slaughter cows, breaking type 80 to 85.75. Boning type cow 70 to 75.75. And lean cow 61 to 68.5. With slaughter bulls, your grade 1s at 82 to 88. At the United Producers Auction over at Shelbyville, 434 heads sold. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers traded steady. Holstein steers 50 cents higher with slaughter cows and bulls steady. Steers, choice 2s to 3s, 116 to 120.75. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, 109.25 to 113.5. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s at 115 to 119.5. Slaughter cows, boning type, 75 to 80.5. Lean cows, 65 to 70. And slaughter bulls, your grade 1s at 80.5 to 82.5. Opening report for the Greenville Livestock Auction, estimated receipts of 401. Compared to last week, slaughter steers, heifers, and Holsteins were all trading steady. Steers, choice 2s to 3s at 114.5 to 117. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, 109 to 113. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, a few at 114.5. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Grain Market News Service.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, 184, up 2. For block cheese, 187, up 1.75. For barrel cheese, 181, up 1. And the spot price for Class 3 milk ending yesterday, $19.36. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for August, $8.25. For September, $8.04. Corn delivered to Scottville for August, $8.25. And for September, $8.04. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for August, $17.31. For September, $17.30. And wheat delivered to Scottville for August, $8.36. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Scottville and Greenfield, $8.25. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $17.31. Wheat at Scottville, $8.36. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. By Hawkeye Steel at Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra. Color radar showing no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment.
Who else provides a partner in crop production like M&M Service Company? The fact is, with your M&M crop specialist working with you throughout the entire year, you have the unique advantage of combining quality seed with expert agronomic knowledge know-how. As a true business partner, you can rely on your M&M Service crop specialist to help you reduce risks, make smarter decisions, improve profits, and just make the whole business of farming easier. So, for a production partner that can bring solutions that work in your fields, get a hold of your M&M Service Company crop specialist today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Sunny skies today, high temperatures in the mid-90s with light southeast winds. Tonight, clear skies, low temperatures in the low 70s. For tomorrow, Friday, becoming cloudy, a slight chance of rain, high temperatures in the mid to the upper 80s. And your extended forecast for Saturday through Labor Day, cloudy skies with a chance of showers Saturday and Sunday, partly cloudy skies on Labor Day Monday, low temperatures in the upper 60s, high temperatures in the upper 80s. Right now at the Weather Center, mostly clear skies, 63 degrees. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
The 2012 Farm Progress Show is happening Tuesday through Thursday, August 28th through the 30th. WSMI coverage of the 2012 Farm Progress Show is brought to you in part by
Max Fire and Safety Equipment in Litchfield, Young's Roofing in Litchfield, Litchfield Farmers Grain, Hillsboro Liquor, the Moonlight Y in Taylor Springs, and Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. First of all, in our farm news, we talked to M&M crop consultant Bill Brink Wednesday morning, and he commented on the corn harvest.
Well, it seems like the yields have been fairly consistent from what I'm hearing. The yields anywhere from 50 to 80 bushel per acre, pretty common from what I'm hearing. The moisture is getting down pretty low. The aflatoxin problem seems to be out there, maybe a little bit more than what was originally anticipated. I hear a lot of farmers talking about that. And, of course, I have a lot of questions about, how dusty, when you go through the field with a combine, tremendous amount of dust. But that's just nothing more than a saprophytic or secondary mold that's come in on the husk. It obviously doesn't do any damage, but it just creates a lot of dust as you're harvesting. So that's really not a problem. It's kind of the same type of organism that gets on wheat. After wheat matures, gets wet, and then we have this black saprophytic fungus that comes in. So pretty consistent, and the corn harvest is coming along pretty fast, and notice that there's quite a bit of tillage already done. And even kind of interesting, it seems like some people may be trying some cover crops this fall, too, as well. So, interesting fall.
And those cover crops you mentioned, what types are they?
Well, there are numerous types. Of course, the old cereal rye is one that has been used for a number of years. And then a lot of people are trying, the tillage radish, what they call the tillage radish. I know some producers north of here have used that, and the idea there is, for that deep taproot to penetrate the soil, break up compaction, and also one of the main reasons is to hang on to some of that unused nitrogen that was not used in this year's corn crop. It's a kind of a pool for nitrogen. It prevents it from being, out in the the drainage water. So it does a good job hanging on to the nitrogen that's not been used this year.
Do they use clovers for a cover crop still?
Not much anymore. The cover crop, they want something out there that you can seed this time of year that will germinate and emerge rather quickly beforehand. One of the advantages to some of these radishes, these tillage radishes, is that it will die out in frost. So you want pretty good growth in the fall, but then when we get down to real cold temperatures, they'll usually die off. So controlling them next spring prior to the next crop is not a problem because they die off.
That mold you mentioned a little bit earlier causing all the dark dust, would that be a problem potentially next year?
No, not really. This is just a natural growing mold that we see. So that really doesn't cause any problems. It's a secondary thing. It comes in after the crop is completely mature, and it never causes any problem. If we have conditions, next year similar to this year when the crop is mature, then we get some showers, wet weather, and then we get some warm temperatures that could come. So these saprophytic molds are just very common. We'll see these each year, but they don't cause any problems at all.
The biggest problem they might cause is in the filters on the machinery.
That's true. You guys go through the field and, come back and then the machine is all black, and that's just because of the saprophytic mold.
We also talked to Chad Getten of Tri-County FS in Jerseyville with the early harvest. We asked him about the possibility of a herbicide carryover problem with wheat.
It's going to be a huge issue, and not only for wheat, but also corn and soybeans going into next year. There's going to be huge potential for carryover due to the dry weather. It takes, it takes moisture, and it takes time to break down the herbicide, and we've had not enough of either one of those yet. And the longer it stays dry, the tighter the herbicides will bind to the soil. Takes about, on average, about 15 inches of rain over time to break down herbicides. So, the best way to see is to run a bioassay, and it's a simple test. The grower can check themselves, or we can do it for them. But you just want to basically, depending on what crop you're wanting to go to, obviously, you go out there, and I like to use a 2-inch turkey roaster pan and take a 3-inch slice of soil where you suspect you might have carryover and water it down for 5 days before you plant your crop that you're wanting to go to and soak it down. And the reason you want to do that for 5 days is you want the water to release the herbicide in the pan, you know, before you put the crop in. So if you're wanting to go to wheat, then you can plant your wheat in there, and then you want to monitor it for a couple weeks, and you want to look for mode of action symptoms. And obviously, if you see the injury on the wheat, you know, you can't rotate. So
now, if you want to do this in a field where you want to plant, say, corn or soybean next year, would now be a good time to check for the herbicide carryover, or wait until early next spring?
Well, you can start doing them now because, obviously, you know, they're talking quite a bit of rain coming this weekend. The more rain we get, you know, it's going to be more apt to not have carryover. But, yeah, you can do it between now and freeze, or you could do it early next spring. But, Randy, you know, Guy wants to do it probably this fall so you can kind of make your crop plan, because if it don't rain much this winter, we will have issues.
And that was Chad Gettin of Tri-County FS in Jerseyville. Tuesday, we talked to Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions, and we discussed the effect that the Gulf storm may have on the harvest and the markets.
Yeah, the concern that I would have there is I don't know how far north that's going to come yet. Even the forecasters don't know that. There's so many different spaghetti trails and everything you see on this hurricane issue. But given the stories we've heard about stock quality and shank quality out there, if we start to see some torrential rainfall on top of this, there could be a significant problem with even further yield loss on top of what we're already going to have. We've heard a lot of stories about these small ears not making it into the machine itself or getting kicked out the back because of the size of them. You just can't set the stripper plates close enough. So I think that's going to add to some concern on this thing, and you could start seeing fields fall over. I know a lot of people have been under the opinion 28% or less, they're going to go out there and get it.
I've heard a lot of insurance people recommend the same thing.
That's right, yep, and for the very same reason. So you got to keep an eye on this thing. I still don't think, like I said, that we ration enough, but we continue to see good to excellent ratings now. These aren't really going to matter here as we move forward. I think this week may have been the last week to really take a look at that. But it is interesting that the poor to very poor conditions in both the corn and soybeans increased. We're 52% poor to very poor on corn, 38% poor to very poor on soybeans. And I just, you know, we're only 6% harvested. As we continue to hear more data about this, we're going to have a lot better idea where price really needs to go.
Faced with high corn and soybean meal prices, pork producers are encouraged to reduce feed loss. Dr. Paul Sundberg, Pork Checkoff Vice President of Science and Technology, says that can be done with an adjustment to the feeders.
Make sure the feeder's clean, crank that adjustment all the way down, and then just open it up so feed just comes out, to ensure that you don't have feed loss over the edge. Watch for rodents. Rodent control is important. Anything that would lose feed from the feeder itself is certainly going to help. It's something that's often overlooked, but it's a very important piece of feed control.
And feed particle size is also a way to address feed efficiency.
Particle size is another one. If you're doing your own feed or talking to your feed supplier, particle size is another one to pay attention to. You can get down to as much as 600 microns in particle size and not have issues with ulcers. As the particle size gets smaller and smaller, that fine feed into the pigs can cause digestive problems that can lead to ulcers in pigs. And so you have to be careful about that and watch for that. But decreasing the particle size, there's been decades of research that shows that as you decrease the particle size, the feed efficiency increases. So talk to the feed manufacturer or look at extension service brochures, especially extension service from the land-grant universities, can give you information on particle size and changing particle size to increase feed efficiency.
The Pork Checkoff has resources available for pork producers faced with drought and high feed costs. That information is available at www.pork.org. National Farmers Union President Roger Johnson and American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman will serve as the masters of ceremony for the Farm Bill Now rally. It will be held September 12th in Washington, D.C. The event is hosted by the National Farmers Union, the American Farm Bureau Federation, the two largest general farm groups in the United States, and a number of other agricultural organizations. With only a few days remaining on the legislative calendar before the current farm bill expires, Johnson says the rally aims to send a strong, unified message to Congress that they must act now on the 2012 Farm Bill to ensure the well-being and livelihood of all Americans who benefit from the legislation. Mr. Stallman says Farm Bureau appreciates the work done by Congress to date and looks forward to working with the House to get a farm bill passed and into conference as soon as possible. In light of the drought, he says it is imperative for America's farmers that a farm bill is passed this year. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack has designated 128 additional counties in 9 states as natural disaster areas due to the drought on Wednesday, along with announcing a 2-month extension for emergency grazing on Conservation Reserve Program acres. Secretary Vilsack says it is important for U.S. farmers and ranchers to have the tools they need to be successful in the long term. And this extension will allow farmers and ranchers approved for emergency grazing to extend grazing through November 30th without additional CRP rental payment reductions. Currently, the U.S. Drought Monitor indicates 63% of the nation's hay acreage and 72% of the cattle acreage is experiencing drought. For the latest on the USDA's drought response and assistance, you can go to www.usda.gov/drought. It's coming up on 6:36 on this Thursday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106. On the Saturday Farm Show, our guest is Holly Steinmeier of White City. Holly and her husband John are involved with the Thoroughbreds Helping Thoroughbreds program. We'll talk about that and an upcoming horse show they will host on September the 30th. The Saturday horse show will be heard at 6:15 and 12:45 on WSMI and WSMI FM 106. And coming up this weekend, the 26th annual Abe's Lincolnland Farm Toy Show. It will be held at the Magnuson Grand Hotel north of Litchfield. The Farm Toy Show will be held this Saturday and Sunday from 9 until 2:30 each day. For more information, phone 854-8848. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. In electronic trading right now on the Board of Trade, September wheat now trading at 883.5, down 2. December wheat trading at 903, that's down 2.75. September corn trading at 811.25, up a penny. December corn trading at 814.25, up 3/4. September soybeans trading at 1760.75, down 2.5. November beans trading at 1749.5, down 3.5.